Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. At this time tomorrow, Northwestern could be 3-0.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. After the way you trashed Nebraska, you better hope they are.
Yeah. Are you watching Big Ten? Are you ready for some Big Ten football again? You're honorary purple. You're watching every week.
Well, this is the whole point. I end up watching all the Northwestern games until there's a decisive part in the game, which last week was pretty late in the game. Are you wearing purple, by the way? Are you wearing purple today?
Yes, I am. I'm ready. I'm ready for some football.
Okay. Just leave here and go right to a booth somewhere where you can watch this game. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Red Sox rehire Alex Cora, the Pac-12 loses another opener, and Justin Turner hears from baseball. But we begin today with Green Bay overwhelming a significantly depleted San Francisco team, missing key starters to injury and COVID protocols, players equivalent to $80 million in cap space. The score was 34-17, and it wasn't even that close. It was 34-3 in the fourth quarter. Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdown passes by midway in the third quarter. Wilbon, do you give the Packers full credit for this win?
Yeah, it's an NFL game. And they weren't scheduled against a Division III opponent. We know they were a D1 opponent as recently as the first Sunday in February, you know, the 49ers were.
Yep.
And so the Green Bay Packers can't help this. They had to get on a plane and fly, I don't know, more than 2,000 miles out to Northern California. I give them full credit. Do I think that the 49ers are now what they were? No, Tony, they look like the Jets and the Giants and the Washington football team and the Cowboys. They look to be in that set of bottom feeders. I think you agree with that.
Yeah.
So, but that's not the Packers' fault. They had to win a game, and they did.
Yeah, so it was a walkover. San Francisco was a shell of itself. Not a single person who touched the ball last night on offense even played in a game last year that was the conference final. So if I'm the Packers, this is what I do. I keep my mouth shut, and I don't apologize for winning this game. Because you know why, Mike? In 2 weeks, this could be the Packers.
That's right.
They could lose 7 or 8 guys. And then, so the NFL is going to play through. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try and keep to the schedule no matter what happens. They saw what happened in baseball. They're going to do this so this can happen to anybody. And you go ahead, you take the W, and you go home.
And by the way, Tony, the Packers still need to get in position. Look, the Packers are going to win their division, right? I mean, their division is at best mediocre and maybe not that. They're going to win their division and be in the playoffs. So they need to win. This could mean the difference between home field and playing somewhere else. I know there are no fans, but home field is still more comfortable than somebody else's field. So, yeah, the Packers better win every game they can. And you're right about every team in the league. You have to treat it
this way. That's right. And Aaron Rodgers has thrown 4 touchdown passes against great teams. And
he's
completed 25 of 31 against healthy teams. This is the fourth time this year that he threw 4 touchdown passes a game. Do I hear the letters MVP? Because I think he's back in the conversation.
Let's move to college football, Tone, where the Pac-12 season finally kicks off tomorrow morning. Arizona State faces 20th-ranked Southern Cal at 9 a.m. Pacific time. That's noon Eastern. The conference's 6 games in 6 weeks season leaves no room for rescheduling. Washington at Cal, already canceled due to a positive test. And this afternoon, Arizona at Utah, also scrubbed. Tone, do you see the Pac-12 as having a realistic hope, with all this drama, of producing a playoff team?
No, I mean, not really. A conference is a shell of itself in basketball and football. Nobody cares about it. Nobody pays attention to it. This is why they're playing at 9 Pacific time. This is why Herm Edwards scheduled his breakfast for the team at 4:45 a.m. Pacific
time.
Because they want eyeballs. They want to get on TV in the East, and they want people to see them. They got 2 ranked teams. Oregon, let me consult this chart.
13,
Oregon is 12, and USC
12.
Is 20. No, 12 and 20. That's not high power rankings. And much of their rankings, Mike, is based on reputations that they had 10 years ago.
Or at least last year at the end in terms of Oregon. Tony, I agree with you. Didn't that produce a playoff team? First of all, they got 6 games. We're not even sure what they're going to look like. We're not sure what they're going to look like in week 1, much less 4 or 5 weeks down the road. We don't think any of the teams is particularly strong anyway. And look, Tony, the people who run college football And this all centers around basically the Southeast. They want two SEC teams, Clemson, and maybe if Ohio State runs the table, Ohio State. That's what they want. I mean, and the SEC has the biggest lobby out there. So they're going to get their two teams probably. The Pac-12, when all things are going perfectly, often can't get a playoff team. I don't see them getting one this year.
No, I mean, look, they're going to have a glamorous 7-0 team. And right now, maybe the best they can do is a 5-0 team, yeah, which isn't going to get them in. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State are in. And what they got to hope for in a Pac-12 is that Notre Dame disappears and Georgia loses to Florida. The Boston Red Sox have rehired Alex Cora as their manager. They had fired Cora 9 months ago in the wake of the Houston cheating scandal when Cora's role as bench coach for the Astros came under scrutiny, and he was named as the architect of the cheating. Cora managed 2 years in Boston and won a World Series. He was cleared of cheating in Boston. Wilbon, are you okay with the Red Sox rehiring Cora after firing Cora?
Yeah, I sort of presumed they would, Tony. And look, maybe this is just, I don't know, a bias of mine or a lack of passion as it regards this story, but I don't look at the Red Sox as being the Astros. Maybe I should. And Cora was involved with both teams. So I get that, but I always thought, I think we both always thought, that if nobody else scooped up Cora, if he's out there and he served his time, that he would wind up being back in the Red Sox dugout. And so that has come to fruition. I'm not particularly surprised, and I'm certainly not offended.
To me, the purpose of punishment is partly rehabilitation. He served his time. Let's assume he's rehabilitated. Boston always wanted him back. The cheating supposedly was in Houston. He was cleared of it in Boston. They probably didn't want to fire him and did it for public relations, and now they can hire him back. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this. Next year, him and Hinch are going to be scrutinized. They're going to be held to a higher standard, which I think is fair. They're going to be talked to all the time. What did you do? Why did you? And that's okay. But baseball, he can get this job back to me. He can.
Yeah, well, he's got it back. I mean, the bigger problem, I think, is going to be the scrutiny, I think, is going to focus more on Hinch, Tony. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just anticipating that's the way it will unfold.
I'll just say one other thing. Cody Bellinger didn't say of the Red Sox, they stole the World Series.
Yeah.
He said that of the Astros. Yeah. The Astros are the larger villain here.
Yeah, the fraternity doesn't seem to want to hold the Red Sox feet to the fire as much as the Houston Astros.
Yes, agreed.
Meanwhile, in baseball, the sport is the league. MLB has decided not to punish Justin Turner for returning to the field to celebrate the Dodgers World Series win. Turner was supposed to be in isolation after testing positive, but baseball says teammates encouraged him to leave quarantine for a photo. Turner apologized at length today, and baseball accepted, saying, quote, "We've all made mistakes," close quote. Tony, you okay with baseball forgiving yet not punishing Justin Turner?
So we found out about this story rather late in the afternoon, and I took some notes, and I'm going to take the chance on referring to some of my notes, what I wrote down initially. And essentially what it is I get this. I understand why it happened. I was very upset at the time. And I was most upset with Justin Turner because he was the player rep. And he knew the protocols. He had a higher responsibility than anybody else on that team to follow the protocols. It wasn't so much that I wanted him punished as I wanted the act condemned and him condemned for it. I think I understand why Manfred is doing this. He doesn't want to demonize Turner any more than has already happened, and he wants better relations with the players. He wants labor peace. So I sort of get it, and I'm not, even though football punishes people for COVID violations, I'm not that angry about this because I think you'd agree with this, Mike. All of his teammates wanted him out there, and we understand that impulse.
Understand the impulse and the pull. I would have just, there's one way I think that baseball could have addressed this. Put him on what it's called probation. I'll call it probation. And just say, you know what? You've got an entire offseason to make good. Not only do you have to continue to be, and I guess he'll be the player rep even if he leaves the Dodgers. I think he's a free agent. But you're going to have to show us. You're going to have to show Major League Baseball and this entire industry how sorry and contrite you are. However you decide to do that, Mr. Turner. Because if we're not satisfied by the time spring training starts, whenever that is, we can sit you down for some games. So, yes, we're not going to punish you now, but you're on, I don't know, 90 days probation. No, more than that. 120 days probation. Let's see how you do.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that, and I agree with that. That is a very good solution to it. We don't know how many people tested positive as a result of Justin Turner
right.
being out there.
That's
the bad
it.
Thing wasn't the teammates, because they all wanted him out there. It's the wives, it's the families, it's the staff.
Yep.
He had no right to potentially infect them. Let us take a break, but coming up, will Josh Allen and the Bills upset Russell Wilson and the Seahawks this weekend? We're going to peer into the future and tell you.
Also, will the Saints beat the Bucs for the second time this season?
So when I hear peer into the future, I know earrings are coming.
Yeah.
I know. That's yeah. what happens.
Dress
with
up
me.
Time for earrings. Mr. Tony.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to the PTI Psychic Hotline, where I augment my powers of prognostication by channeling them through Gold LeMay. Hark, I sense the first call.
Hey, boys. Do you see Josh Allen and the Bills upsetting Russell Wilson and the Seahawks?
I don't. I mean, you know what? The Bills aren't as good as I thought they were. They would have lost that game last week. If Cam Newton doesn't cough up that ball, he's going in. If not on that run, then a run after that, and they're going to win that game. You know, they don't score under 25 a game. Seattle scores 34 a game. Buffalo's actually allowed one more point than they've scored, and they're in first place. I don't see this. The only thing that worries me, Mike, is traveling to the East and playing on a 10 a.m. body clock. That's all.
Tony, I was doing my pool picks for this week and my confidence pool. So you look at all the games and you come up with what is the game I am the least confident picking? And you give that your lowest assignment of points. That would be me taking the Buffalo Bills to beat the Seattle Seahawks. I actually picked it. I gave it the lowest
really?
Amount of points. I think there are a couple of buys this week, so 3 is the lowest number. I picked 3. Tony, Seattle's defense is not any good. In terms of yards allowed, I think they're dead last. So, Buffalo at home, they need this game. They need to get back on track. You're right, they should have lost last week. I'm gonna go with the upset and take Josh Allen and the Bills.
Okay. I would confidently lay the 3 points on this one, confidently. Next.
Who that, baby? Do y'all see Drew Brees and the Saints beating Tom Brady and the Bucs again?
Not this time, I don't. They caught him at the exact right time in the first game when Tampa Bay didn't even know each other. They didn't even know each other. Tom Brady has gotten much better. He's now 20 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He finds Gronkowski. He's got Antonio Brown coming on this team right now. Michael Thomas is questionable. Drew Brees' shoulder hurts. He doesn't go deep anyway. Now maybe he can't even go short. Now, I'll just tell you this, Mike. If, in fact, New Orleans wins this, then I have to admit, they are clearly the better team. And I don't think that's true. Tampa Bay will lose other games like they lost to Chicago. They're not losing this one.
Tony, you know, the thing about Tampa, everybody wants to give them every benefit of the doubt because of the Golden Boy. I get it. I do it, too. I picked Tampa. I almost said New England. Tampa Tom to win this game. But, Tony, Tampa Tom.
Tampa Tom.
Tom. He's already lost to Drew Brees. He didn't know what down it was against the Bears. They got outplayed by the Giants on Monday night. I know the score went their way. That's three hiccups already. Yet, I'm seduced too. I am going to say no. Drew Brees can't get it down the field. He's off the injured list. You know he's going to play. It's not about whether he's injured. It's how effective is he going to be at this point. So, yes, I'm going with Tampa Tom too.
Yeah. You know, I like him a lot, but I really hate that TB12 hat that he wears all the time. Enough with that. The phone lines are closed. Let's
already?
Take one last
That's
break.
It?
But in our future, I see us discussing the NFL coming down hard. On John Gruden and the Raiders.
Yeah, there's other people that come down hard on, too. And I see Tony predicting whether Florida will beat Georgia, even though you've never attended the biggest cocktail party in America.
That's the one that's between the hedges, right?
No. That used to be...
No?
It was just in Jacksonville.
What about the hedges? What happened to the hedges?
The hedges are Georgia. That's just Sanford Stadium.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 60th birthday, Gerald Riggs.
My man.
Riggs spent 7 seasons as a running back in Atlanta and 3 more in Washington. He went to 3 Pro Bowls and rushed for 8,188 yards and 69 touchdowns. These are fine numbers. Riggs was a solid, productive running back. He went over 100 yards 27 times. But in the game we are concentrating on, Riggs had only 7 yards and 5 carries. And normally you would think, that's nothing. And if I added the fact that it was in the Super Bowl, you might even be embarrassed for Riggs. You might think, ooh, is this a Barry Sanders playoff situation? But the fact is those 7 yards produced 2 touchdowns in a game where Washington beat Buffalo 37-24. So in a sense, Riggs provided the winning margin. He wasn't the MVP, Mark Rippon was, but Riggs has those 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl, which turned out to be the last NFL game he played. What a way to go out.
Tony, in 1985, Riggs was better than just productive. He had 1,700 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns. In 84, 5, and 6, he had 32 touchdowns. And more importantly, as far as I'm concerned, he was a fine radio sports talk show host in Atlanta for a lot of years. And I was an occasional guest, maybe even more than occasional, really like Gerald Riggs.
That's wonderful. I had no idea about that. Happy anniversary, Patrick Peterson. On this day 9 years ago, in his rookie season with the Arizona Cardinals out of LSU, Peterson fielded a punt in overtime on his own 1-yard line and ran it back 99 yards for a walk-off win over the Rams. It set an NFL record for the longest overtime punt return. Now, let's be honest. It's completely insane to field a punt on your own 1. Even more insane to do it in overtime, and even more insane to do it as a rookie, even if Peterson was the number 5 overall pick. But 10 seconds after he did it, Peterson looked like a genius. That year, Peterson made the All-Pro team as a return specialist after scoring 4 touchdowns on returns. Peterson is now in his 10th season, and he has never had another return for a touchdown. That year as a returner, and far more often as a cornerback, Peterson made 8 straight Pro Bowls. A general manager can congratulate himself for drafting Peterson.
Yeah, and you also better congratulate yourself for getting him off special teams when he's got to play as your best corner. But Tony, the only guys I could see even allowing to catch a ball in the end zone, return a punt, Sayers, Dion, and Hester. That's my list. Those 3 guys, and obviously Patrick Peterson did it.
People will know two of those are Bears,
that's right,
just
baby.
So you know. Happy trails to a sixth round pick for the Raiders. Yahoo first reported that not only will the Las Vegas Raiders be fined $500,000 and their coach John Gruden be fined $150,000, but the team will be stripped of a sixth round draft pick for what is being called repeated offenses involving the COVID-19 protocols. 2 weeks ago, offensive tackle Trent Brown tested positive, but because he wasn't wearing his tracer at the team facility, four other members of the offensive line had to quarantine. Gruden had been previously fined for not properly wearing a mask on the sideline, and 10 different Raiders players had been fined for appearing at a charity event without masks and then mingling with the crowd. In total, the Raiders have racked up $1.185 million in coronavirus-related fines. Sources say these violations have continued despite repeated warnings. Gruden publicly defended the Raiders, saying, and I quote, "What we've done as an organization is top-notch," unquote.
Tony, in the same vein, Mike Tomlin of the Steelers has been fined $100,000, and the Steelers fined $250,000. Again, we're talking about wearing masks and what the NFL expects. The NFL is not given a lot of rope in this area, is it?
No, and it's really in distinction with what didn't happen with Justin Turner. The leagues are going about this in a different way. There's different circumstances, because one is right after the World Series and one is, you know, over the course of a season. But the NFL, I think, to its credit, is punishing, right?
And the NFL,
you would agree with that,
sort of knows what it's facing now. You know, right now, you're still in jeopardy, potentially.
Yeah. One omission, Brody Van Wagenen out as GM of the Mets. New ownership there, obviously. And one correction, Wilbon, Florida Georgia is not, as you said, America's biggest cocktail party. It's, quote, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
And the difference would be what exactly?
The word outdoor, I think, would be the significant difference. I have no idea. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Titans punter Brett Kern is out against the Bears. Your team, is that a big deal?
I don't know. I mean, I know their strength is running the ball. The Bears play the run pretty well. I would think you need your punter, but maybe not. Ravens coach John Harbaugh says Lamar Jackson needs to tighten up his game. Your thoughts?
He's the reigning MVP, so his game is pretty good. But against big teams, you can't cough it up. You got to beat the good teams. Phil Mickelson had four water balls. That's like me, but finished with an eagle in his last round before the Masters. Reason for optimism?
+9 overall to miss the cut in Houston. Are you real optimistic about that? Number 8, Florida, at number 5, Georgia tomorrow. Which way you leaning?
I'm leaning for Georgia. The game is played in Jacksonville. They both played well. They both lost only to ranked teams. Florida lost, I guess, to A&M, and Georgia lost to Alabama. I'll take Georgia slightly. Last one, number 9, BYU at number 21, Boise State tonight. Who you got?
I know the game is at Boise. I'm going with BYU, Tony. I'm not exactly going to call that an upset regardless of where the game is played.
If BYU was in the Pac-12, they'd be eligible for the playoff. We're out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here is SportsCenter.
PTI. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.